whenever you say this.
The Senate and House Joint Education Committee is called to order. Today is Wednesday, February 14th. Happy Valentine's Day, everyone. The time is 8:03, and in attendance are, in the Senate side, myself, Stevens Chair, Senator Geisel is here, Senator Coghill, Senator Begich, and Senator Hughes will shortly be here. So Representative Drummond.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Present on the House side are Representative Parrish, Representative Tallarico, Representative Johnston, and myself, Harriet Drummond. Oh, I'm sorry. Representative Kopp has just shown up, and myself, Harriet Drummond. And did I get Representative Tallarico?
You did.
Okay,
thank you.
Great. Thank you.
Thank you. And Senator Hughes is also with us. So let's go ahead and get started. Today we're going to be hearing from the State Board of Education Early Development regarding their annual report. We have online Mr. James Fields, the chairman of the board, and we also have the Department of Education and Commissioner, others here to assist with any questions. Thank you all. Any comments or questions, members, before we begin? Very well. Please join us, Mr. Fields, and can you hear us okay?
Can you hear me?
Yes, we can. Thank you very much for being with us, Mr. Fields, and thanks for your service on the Board of Education.
Great, thank you. Yeah, and I'd like to thank you, all the legislators, senators, House representatives, for allowing me to come to you via telephone. As some of you may know, I'm the coach of the Glen Allen High School boys basketball team, and so this is kind of a busy time. And we just got back from Nome late Sunday, and we have games Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Tuesday this coming week. So busy, busy. So thank you for allowing me to testify via telephone.
Thank you, Mr. Fields, and best of luck in the future with your team. So please go ahead.
Okay, thank you. I'll just hit on some of the highlights in the report. And then, as you had mentioned, I think the deputy commissioner and the commissioner are both there for questions, and myself as well, if you have any questions, comments, or concerns regarding the report. So I'll just go ahead and hit some of the highlights, if that's all right, and then we'll go from there.
Yes, please, and all those folks are here.
Okay, great, thank you. We've gone over in previous testimony, I think, even with the commissioner and so forth, with the three commitments. I'll just hit those commitments and then move on. The three commitments in the AK Alaska Education's challenge are increase in student success, cultivate safety and well-being, and support responsible and reflective learners. That has come from a lot of work over the last year in 2017 especially, and with both of your committees, I've done it before, but I'll do it again. I strongly thank you for your support in that effort. And I know all the educators in the state are encouraged in your effort and involvement in that process over the last year. So thank you again for all of your guys, your support in that effort. And DEED continues to have ongoing discussions with stakeholders around ideas on moving our students forward and toward better achievement and success throughout the state. And just to note, in 2018, several districts have already passed resolutions supporting the Alaska Education Challenge in that effort for moving in 2018, so that's a positive throughout the state. Moving on to resolutions, in March, the State Board adopted a resolution supporting the efforts of the University of Alaska and its Board of Regents to streamline transfer credit policies among Alaska's post-secondary institutions to help facilitate college completion. And another note on UAA and those efforts, in March, the State Board approved a resolution supporting the University of Alaska's efforts to open up paths for its students to transfer credits from other Alaska institutions. The Alaska Commission on Post-Secondary Education passed a similar resolution. The intent is to increase college graduation rates. And I'll just make a note, there's continuing collaboration between the Board of Regents and Board of Education through a joint subcommittee that both boards have appointed representatives on, as well as staff from both departments. That subcommittee meets has quarterly meetings, so they meet regularly that go over efforts on both sides, whether it's UAA or Department of Education. In September, the State Board approved the UAA Early Childhood Special Education Endorsement Program, thereby allowing the endorsement to appear on Alaska teaching certificates. In November, the State Board reviewed and discussed the department's progress on a plan for how to move the Alaska's Education Challenge work forward. Board members provided positive feedback on the department's efforts and their excitement for the action planning work with stakeholders as part of the next steps. Those are kind of the highlights that I see in the resolutions part. And again, if you have other comments at the end of the report, go ahead and make those. And moving down into significant steps, that's on page 7. Alaska successfully administered the statewide English, language, arts, math, and science assessments during the 2016-17 school year. And the department is working now on making our second year of the current assessment, make sure that it's administered successfully. As you know, this is that was the first year of our PEAKS assessment, the new assessment that we put forward for the state. Moving down into the e-learning program, just a quick note, DEED's extensive e-learning library now offers over 50 e-learning courses available for educators in Alaska. And I think the biggest note that I personally would like to make is the growth of this service that DEED is providing shows the district, the department's moving more towards assisting and supporting districts rather than the feel of a compliance type organization. So I think the department, this is a big step in that growth of the Department of Education, moving more towards a help than a compliance type department. So I think that's a positive note to make. Moving into the implementing of the Every Student Succeeds Act, ESSA, on September 18, 2017, DEED submitted its state plan to the U.S. Department of Education for how it intends to implement ESSA. Alaska's state plan represents over a year's worth of stakeholder engagement and department preparation in creating a plan to implement ESSA requirements within the unique context of Alaskan education. The elements of Alaska's ESSA state plan are designed to support the broader work of improving Alaska's education system to meet the mission of public education in Alaska, an excellent education for every student every day. Alaska's ESSA plan is a description of the system to help schools and districts measure their performance on key indicators, identify solutions for improvement, and target resources and support for all students to receive an excellent education and be prepared for college or career after high school. In developing its state plan, DEED consulted with the governor, members of the state legislature, and state board of education, local educational agencies, native representatives, teachers, principals, other school leaders, charter school leaders, specialized instructional support personnel, paraprofessionals, administrators, other staff, and parents. DEED received more than 4,000 stakeholder comments submitted through online surveys, its ESSA advisory committee, discussion groups, and webinars and community conversations, so a lot of input throughout the state. On December 15, 2017, the U.S. Department of Education provided feedback based on its initial review of the plan submitted in September 2017. DEED anticipates resubmitting Alaska's plan by the end of February 2018 with changes based on the feedback that they received from the U.S. Department of Education. Moving down, we go, just a quick note, in the school and student data in 2017, the preliminary five-year graduation rate was 81.3%. This refers to a cohort of students who were ninth graders five school years previously. Many of the students graduated in 4 years, but others needed all or part of a fifth year. So that's moving in the right direction in the way of graduation rate if you look over the years. And at this point, that finishes my quick highlights and comments. So if you've got questions, comments, or concerns based on the report, that'd be great.
Well, thank you very much, Mr. Fields. Can you give us some insight into ESSA versus No Child Left Behind? Are you more comfortable with this, the current federal plan? Is that something you feel we can comply with and are working towards coming into compliance with it?
I'd welcome comments from the commissioner, but yeah, I feel a lot better than No Child Left Behind just because it puts the state more in the driver's seat and more tailors it to what the state could do than just a generalized national plan. So I think it's definitely a positive step and allows us to have a lot more leeway in how we educate and comply with state or national regulations.
Thank you. Senator Hughes.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Fields, for your report and your service. And this is simply because I couldn't quite understand you. When you talked about the graduation rate, what was the rate? And it did include those that were that took part of a fifth year. Is that correct? So if you could repeat that rate, please.
Yeah, the graduation rate was 81.3%, and it refers to a cohort of students who were ninth graders 5 years previously. So, yeah, it would include those that needed a little bit of time in that fifth year.
Thank you.
Please, Representative.
Yes, thank you through the chair. I have two questions.
And Representative Johnston.
One is, I was trying to remember when we stopped having the graduation exam. Could you tell me? High school qualifying exam.
I think it's been, and the commissioner may be able to give, I think it's been 3 years.
So maybe 2014?
Yeah, it could, yeah, because that was, that state law was, I think it was 3 years ago.
Okay, thank you.
So 14, yeah.
And my other question is with the e-learning, does the state provide almost a catalog resource of all of other e-learning opportunities that are not within the state of Alaska? I could see a school district going online and Googling opportunities for chemistry or for physics or math, but I didn't know if the state has sort of a filter in which school districts can use as they survey what their options are.
I would refer to the commissioner on that, if I could.
Okay, shall we go right ahead with that? If you want an answer, Commissioner, would you come forward? We'll come back to you, Mr. Fields.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. For the record, I'm Michael Johnson, Commissioner of Education and Early Development. Through the chair, Representative Johnston, the e-learning that Chair Fields was specifically talking about is e-learning for training for teachers and equipping teachers with various trainings that the legislature or the federal government has said that they must have. In terms of e-learning for students, we don't have yet a repository, but we are actively in conversations with other legislators and partners in creating some kind of repository for that kind of e-learning where families can go and look and compare different options for students.
Thank you. Yeah. And thank you for clarifying for me.
Thank you. Yes, Representative Grumman.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. On that topic on e-learning for students, a number of districts already offer e-learning. Is when you compile the e-learning for students at the state level, will you be drawing on the experiences and the record that various districts already have and making them available statewide?
Through the chair, Representative Drummond, yes. Our hope would be, though it's in the early stages of conception, that it would be a repository where any family in the state could go to the website and see what another district's using, mm-hmm. But also potentially seeing a tier of learning options and which ones are rated as most effective and most approved of by the students, by parents, those sorts of things.
And one more.
Yes, please. Go ahead.
Just a comment on the e-learning library on page 9. I think it's fascinating that the program's most heavily trafficked courses are the ones that provide instruction on foundational health and safety topics. I think that tells us that our teachers are being required to deliver more and more topics to their students, and they need support in these areas. So I appreciate that. I also have some questions on the graduation rate, but if others have questions.
We'll try and get around to everyone then. Thank you. I want to ask about the computer-based tests. I realize we had difficulties in 2015 and 16. We did give the test in 16-17, and that seemed to be successful. Do you think we've got those technical problems behind us now? It's not going to be an issue in the future?
Chair Stevens, So what we did last year with the first administration of PEAKS is we gave districts the option to choose if they wanted to give a computer-based assessment or a paper-based assessment. And we felt like at the local level was the best place for that decision to be made. So rather than the department insisting that everyone give one form or the other, we allowed districts to choose that. And it was really enlightening to hear the conversations that went on in local communities and who felt that they really strongly wanted a computer-based assessment and the reasons why and those that did not. We plan to continue that so that we don't force upon a district a computerized assessment in a context where they may not have the capacity to make that happen well. Our primary objective is to get credible, reliable data on how well the public education system is working, and whether that's paper-based or computer-based is not as important yet. There are reasons why it would be attractive to have more and more students taking it on a computer in terms of results and getting those back to districts, but we're just not there yet in some places in the district. In terms of predicting how it will go, we are just trying to remain vigilant and not assume that there wouldn't be problems and trying to prevent as many of those as we can. But our expectation is that we'll have another great assessment this spring.
Thank you, Dr. Johnson. Give us an idea of how that worked out. A majority of students took on computer-based or a majority paper. Can you give us a thought on how that actually transpired this year?
Chair Stevens, I don't have the number. Do you have the numbers with you? I think it was about 50-50.
Everyone's shaking their head behind you, so I think you're
okay.
You're correct.
Can get you the exact numbers of, and we can even, which districts.
Well, Dr. Johnson, not so much concerned about the exact numbers, but just to see what the progression is in the future, I assume it would be moving towards more and more computer-based, but it'd be interesting to know that. Mm-hmm. Representative Johnson.
Now that I'm understanding e-learning program, I had a number of school districts come into my office suggesting that they were spending a lot of time as far as Bree's Law and coming up with a curriculum. Is that on the e-learning program, the training for Bree's Law, or soon to be called Bree's Law?
Through the chair, Representative Johnston, there are within some of the required trainings that we currently have, we've incorporated those topics related to what may become Bree's Law. So we haven't created necessarily a brand new training just on dating violence, but we currently have trainings on domestic violence and other issues where we've incorporated that in there, including some of the images you've seen on posters and some of those talking points.
Thank you, because I just, for the record, it seems that there's another $200,000 in the budget for developing this further, so I would be interested.
Thank you, Representative. So I did volunteer the Senate Finance Committee to participate in that 30-minute, hour-long program to the training of teachers online, and maybe the House Education Committee would like to join us in that. We'll try and set that up.
All right.
Okay. Thank you. And you had a further question. I'm sorry, Representative Drummond, then we'll get to you. Yes.
Yes. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. On the graduation data on page 15, if 2011 to 2016 were to be looked at, including a fifth year, the way the 2017 preliminary five-year graduation rate is, what would those graduation rates look like? Is that possible to determine? Because I know that districts have a tough time tracking students if they've left their districts and haven't yet graduated, and of course the students that take an additional part or all of a fifth year. I think it's important that they graduate, and I appreciate their commitment. But I'd also like to look and see if that actually if that does pan out to a more complete graduation rate picture.
Through the chair, Representative Drummond, we can get you that data. We have that data, and it does show that when you include fifth year, it increases the number of students that are getting a diploma.
Okay, great. Thank you.
Thank you. Representative Parrish, and then Senator Hughes.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I think I might have the distinction of being the only person at the table who's gone through a few of the e-learning programs. I support the mission of increasing instructional time by developing alternative deliveries for mandated trainings. However, just speaking personally, I found the delivery to be less than optimal. I read fairly quickly, so there'd be a couple sentences on the screen. I'd click and then wait a couple of seconds while the next screen loaded, and click and wait and click and wait. And then there's a really pretty basic test at the end. I hope that the department will look at ways to make that a little bit less wasteful in terms of time for the folks. Even just having it all as a text block would be, for me, preferable. That being said, I'd be interested in hearing if the department's had that feedback from other people in the educational profession, and if there's any sort of statutory remedy that you would need to make that program as useful as it could be, or if the mandates have gone too far, where you need us to trim them back a little bit.
Thank you, Representative Parrish.
Through the chair, Representative Parrish, commissioners don't get a break from the trainings either. So over Christmas break this year, I sat through several hours of training because I had to renew my certificate in January. And I don't know which trainings that you may have taken or when. The ones that I took most recently were, I found very engaging. They included video. They included lots of images. There was somebody speaking. I could read the text, or it could be spoken to me. It was in very small chunks. And I was really impressed with some of those trainings. I had not taken the latest versions of those, and I was very impressed with what had been put together, the content, the collaboration that had taken place across departments and partnerships in the state to create those. And so we often get very positive feedback on these latest trainings that we have out. I'd be happy to set up an appointment to show you some of those and see how they compare with the training that you received. Having said all that, the department's always very receptive to feedback on how we can make these trainings as relevant, as efficient, and meaningful for teachers and ultimately our students. So thank you.
Thank you. I'll look forward to the meeting.
Thank you. Just a reminder that we, Commissioner, we've talked to some extent, actually regularly over the years, about mandated training and unfunded mandates, and we have asked to get a list of those, both mandated and unfunded, just so we know what we're dealing with as we move ahead. Senator Hughes.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Commissioner, back to page 15, the graduation rates. I'm so pleased to see a 10% increase in the four-year rate since 2011. So I have a two-part question. What do you attribute that to? And secondly, are we seeing a steady increase across all districts, or is that 10% increase due to a few districts that are doing very well, and we still have districts perhaps who aren't increasing their rate, or perhaps even their rates are going the wrong direction? So could you give us a picture of what's happening statewide in that regard?
Through the chair, Senator Hughes, I think all that you said is probably accurate. I wouldn't attribute the very exciting increase that we see to any one factor. I think it's a lot of different factors. I think the legislature gets credit for that. I think the department's work, I think school districts, school boards. There's been a concerted effort to address really low graduation rates and what that means in the lives of students. And what I find exciting is that it seems as if there's a renewed and refreshed interest in taking this even further and increasing it even more. And so at the end of this month, our response to the federal government for the Every Student Succeeds Act plan in the state is due. And included in there are specific goals and metrics for seeing that rate go up. And so we will be working with districts on specific strategies to achieve the goals that are established in our plan that we've submitted to the federal government. Is it across the board? There's not necessarily a consistent increase in graduation rate in every district, and I think in some districts you see some ups and downs. In some of our districts you see a very steady up, but we can get that data to you and be happy to sit down and look at that with you and discuss what some of those ups and downs may mean.
And a quick follow-up, Mr.
Yes,
Chair,
please,
this is pretty much yes or no. So would, as far as what a graduate knows when he or she comes out of school in 2017 as compared to the graduates and what he or she knows and is capable of in 2011, are they the same, or do we have higher expectations or lower expectations now? Or just wondering if we're comparing, we kind of want to know, is it apples to apples or apples and oranges?
Through the chair, Senator Hughes, one point to note is that within that 10 years, we did stop requiring a graduation exam, mm-hmm. and so that's one factor. Along with that, though, within that 10 years, we increased our standards, the rigor of our standards. So we moved from the grade level expectations to Alaska's standards, and those standards are more rigorous than the grade level expectations were.
And just a comment to that, I'm glad to hear that, because we have been hearing from employers over the year, they were concerned even if someone had graduated, how ready they were to move on. So thank you.
Thank you, Senator Hughes. Could you reflect, Commissioner, on No Child Left Behind versus ESSA? Are we pretty pleased with those changes? Are there things that are still continuing from No Child Left Behind, or is that all behind us? And just can you give us the bigger picture of those federal programs?
Chair Stevens, the changes representative between No Child Left Behind and the Every Student Succeeds Act, in my view, represents a very exciting opportunity for the state. As I said, we submitted our plan in September of this year. The federal government provided a response and some requests for additional information or more specificity. We've been working on that. We are due to submit our additional information and responses to that at the end of February. As we developed the plan, we had the input of really thousands of Alaskans that reviewed that plan and provided input. Where I see the opportunity is we had the good fortune of creating a plan for the Every Student Succeeds Act while we were also having the discussions associated with Alaska's Education Challenge. And so rather than have the plan for the federal government here and Alaska's vision for what we want here, we've been able to incorporate those two. And so we've been working to connect those two efforts and the input we've received and create documents that reflect a shared vision for what we want in the state. Some of the opportunities in ESSA that may not have been there in No Child Left Behind are the accountability system gives us opportunity to include metrics other than just the test score on academics. So I would never want our accountability system to be less than a student learning to read and their proficiency in that area or their proficiency in math, but I do welcome the opportunity for it to be so much more. So we, for example, one of the metrics that we want to include is attendance. And so how does that impact the other parts of the plan? There are other elements that we want to include, but we are trying to be very cautious that we don't create additional bureaucracies and burdens on districts for data associated with those. So how can we continue to nourish an accountability system that truly reflects the reality in schools and gives families an accurate picture of how their school's doing compared to other schools in our state?
Thank you. It's good to hear that we're moving forward, and the federal government is as well. Representative Kopp.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Commissioner Johnson, I really want to commend you for courageously leading the Department of Education and confronting hard truths in a very gentle way that is building powerful coalitions that I think are necessary to not only face the urgency of where we're at in our educational performance, but the awareness of how we work together to move forward. I have not seen that before, and I just want to really affirm you that it is incredible. And I, you know, when I, on one hand, it's very easy to be discouraged when we look at our national academic education progress scores. In fourth grade, we all know that if a kid isn't reading by fourth grade, they're like 70% more likely to be in prison, to have all kinds of dysfunction later in life, to be unemployed. And we are only ahead of one state nationally. We're statistically the same as nine, and all the other states are ahead of us. That's not where Alaska should be, but you, sir, are giving us a vision of how to get past that, and have also really strongly connected in my mind that a graduation rate doesn't always reflect exactly the learning that should be occurring. And I think that's a good reminder for all of us that we can do this. We can move forward. I think the Alaska Education Challenge was your brainchild, and you worked powerfully through a lot of people to help us see how to move forward. So thank you.
Thank you, Representative Kopp. And all. Representative Drummond, you have some further questions?
Actually, I didn't, but I did want to comment on I remember when the No Child Left Behind requirements for attendance would effectively eliminate any progress that a school had made if just a few children were sick or otherwise absent on examination days. It was just very demoralizing. But I'm glad that you are going to continue to focus on improving attendance. And I've heard from the school districts that have visited us in the last few days have all reported improvements in that area. Cordova, we were talking a little earlier about mandates. The Cordova School District brought me a spreadsheet of about six pages of programs that the state was requiring them to produce. And I think we need to take a look at what we're requiring schools to do and what needs to stay there and what doesn't. I know they're somewhat frustrated on piling on additional requirements, including things like the Alaska Safe Children's Act, part of which will hopefully soon be known as Breeze Law. It saves lives, but again, it is an additional delivery that we're asking our schools to do. So I want to make sure that we help them move in the right direction without overloading them with requirements that may or may not be productive.
Through the chair, Representative Drummond, I think we have, because of the work that's taken place over the last year in developing these new plans to carry out our shared vision, we have an opportunity to really reflect and review the current regulations that we have on school districts. And so now that we are through this development stage, one of the things I hope that happens in the next 12 to 18 months is a thorough review of regulation and what serves something very purposeful and supports districts and students and what doesn't. And so I think we have a wonderful opportunity right now. And Chair Stevens, if I may respond to Representative Cobb's very kind remarks, I very much appreciate those, but I must say that it really has been a my good fortune to serve as commissioner when a whole lot of folks have decided they really want to sit down and have some meaningful conversations about a vision for our public education system that recognizes that there are kids getting a great education in our state, but it's not working for enough of our students. And I have had the good pleasure to be commissioner when all these folks have decided to come together, and I want to commend the folks on this joint committee for participating in Alaska's Education Challenge, investing a lot of hours, having great conversations with citizens around the state, and I had many comments back to me about how meaningful and impressed folks were to be sitting in those committee meetings with you folks on the phone, listening, participating, and sharing your own ideas. And so I have to share that credit with even the folks in this room. And then in terms of fourth grade reading, I just wanted to note that in our ESSA plan, and I don't know if another state did this, but we included as one of the metrics in our accountability system third grade reading proficiency because of what you said. We know that if we can get children reading by third grade, that the rest of the school will be much easier and will take less resources, and the students will thrive. And I know there's a bill about dyslexia and reading proficiency, and I just appreciate the legislature's attention also to how important it is that we don't wait till third grade, but that we start as early as possible preparing kids to be proficient readers. So thank you for that comment.
Thank you. Senator Giesel.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Dr. Johnson, you've heard from many of us about how critical reading is. You've just expressed that yourself. So I've been hearing from folks, and I know you have too, about actually having reading specialists in our schools. Do we have any reading specialists? What is the plan moving forward to actually have those kinds of skilled teachers in our schools?
Through the chair, Senator Giesel. So there are schools in Alaska that have reading specialists. There are districts that have reading specialists, and they try to share them among schools. But there are also many schools that, because of their school size, don't have reading specialists. Reading specialists, and I want to commend librarians here, too. We have many librarians in the state that may not have the same certification as a reading specialist, but invest many hours in really nourishing a child's desire and wish to read. And so there are folks with a title reading specialist. There are other folks, such as our librarians, that serve that purpose, and then many other paraprofessionals. So I don't know that we have data on which schools may have that, and that would be something interesting that I'd certainly be willing to engage superintendents on. There's no specific initiative to increase that number of reading specialists, but I know districts. I was just in the Anchorage School District and was able to sit in on a professional development meeting they were having with several teachers around the district that teach in a classroom setting on equipping them to essentially serve as a reading specialist and how to lay that curriculum out and to make sure kids are progressing. And it was a fantastic meeting that they were doing. So I think it's safe to say there are many initiatives not just focused on reading specialists that are trying to address the needs of our students in terms of reading.
Thank you.
You know, the National Conference of State Legislatures had a federal grant to get legislators in the classroom and have that opportunity. That doesn't exist anymore. I think that funding ran out. But just that opportunity of spending some time in the classroom, working with your local superintendent, and learning what actually happens in the classroom is just a great experience. And I think we should all take that on as our personal goal to try to get in the classroom this year. Representative Johnson, you need to get back in the classroom, too.
I'm still there.
Thank you.
Thank you. I'd like to add on to Representative Kopp's statements. And what's been a real pleasure this year, this time when all the school boards come through, is how many school districts have are looking at their strategic plans over the education challenge and how proud they are of some of the benchmarks they're already meeting. And it's just, I mean, it's been a thrill to have the school districts through my office. It's also been a thrill to find the cross-fertilization between districts, the sharing, also coming locally. So I commend everybody for their efforts. I commend Deed's efforts for, in some respects, standing out of the way and being part of the effort, but allowing the local efforts to be the driving force. And I really see that happening, and it's really, really exciting. And hopefully everybody will become engaged. But it's been a real pleasure. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. So as we wrap things up, I'd ask Mr. Fields if you have any comments you would like to make as we end this, and we'll ask Dr. Johnson to stay there, and we'll ask him to wrap things up too as well. So, Mr. Fields, if you're still with us, any concluding thoughts you have?
Just thank you for the commissioner of stepping in and fielding all those questions, and I would agree with all of your comments about his leadership, the commissioner's leadership over the last year and several years. It definitely makes the chair's job easier when you've got someone in that position that is wise and discerning and well-spoken. So just thank you for all the work that he's done. Thank you to all of you and your friendship over the years and just your willingness to be part of education in the state. And And I can't leave without saying Happy Valentine's Day. So have a good day. Happy Valentine's Day.
Thank you, Mr. Fields. Yes, I appreciate that. Thanks so much. And for your participation and comments as well. Dr. Johnson, any concluding comments you may have?
Chair Stevens, I'll just say thank you very much for the opportunity to share again with the Joint Committee. I very much value the accountability that the legislature provides. It's meaningful to every single student in the state. And I think that I can assure the committees that our partners, our associations, our school districts have really rallied around a shared vision to improve the education system for our students and to celebrate where we have successes. And I think that will mean good things for the future of our state. So thank you very much.
Thank you, Commissioner. Chair Drummond.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I had the pleasure of attending the Education Commission of the State's event in San Diego in late June with Senator Stevens, with the commissioner, with State Teacher of the Year for 2017, James Harris from Soldotna, and who else was with us? And of course, Board President Fields. And there was a similar contingent from every state in the union, and I'm sure a few territories. It was an absolutely energizing experience, and it was wonderful to spend time with these folks who are so committed to improvement in our schools and learn more about one another and our experiences in education. And I hope to continue to be able to do that.
Thank you, Chair Darwin. Any further comments? If not, I appreciate everyone being here, and we're adjourned.